T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back to Hour 3 of this Monday edition of Cook and Pony. I'm Ron Cook. Andrew worked the morning shift today, so it's just me. But for this segment, it isn't just me. It's my pleasure, as always, to welcome in Jay Caulfield of AT&T Sportsnet to talk a little Penguins. Man, I love doing that. Jay, good afternoon. How are you today?
Good, Ron. How are you?
I'm doing okay. No golf on a rainy day like today, huh?
I know. All these nice days for the last month and a half, and then back to the rain now.
Well,
but
I think
it's okay.
I think it's that time of year, Jay. Hey, listen, I said earlier in the show, I have a hard time getting too concerned about the Penguins 16 games into an 82-game schedule. But they have lost as many games as they've won. They're 8-6-2. Should I be more concerned about how they're playing?
No, I don't think so either. It's almost like they're still trying. I think the slots you got to figure out are they're still trying to find that. I mean, look, Riley Sheahan, they brought him in to be the third line center. And I think once you start getting some production from that slot, then I think things will start to, you know, settle down a little bit, because I like the move. When they put Hornquist, and I think it's Sherry and Hornquist were his wingers the other night. During that game, and I think that was a pretty good. They made a lot happen. I thought that was his best game. So I think the third line slot, I think you've had injuries. I think when Schultz comes back in the lineup, you're going to see more, and Humwick too. They bring a little bit of different. They're going to bring that offense from the blue line, if you will, that second wave, and that's needed in today's game. And the other part, Ron, again, they have played so much hockey. It could be. There's always the lulls outside of starting the season off, and everybody's excited. But it's a long, long season, and if they get ramped up, stay healthy going towards February, March, April, that's all anybody should really care about.
Jay, I got to give you credit, man. You are a fast learner. You already are saying Sherry instead of Sherry. Man alive, I give you credit. It's going to take me until February to figure that out.
Yeah, I think I did stumble though the other night. I think I threw his name out the first way we've been talking about it, and I think I got it after that. I hope anyway, Ron.
How about that kid not correcting people how his name is pronounced? All he wants to do is play and secure his job and win games. So I give him credit for that.
Yeah, I do. I do too. I think it's kind of. I think it was talked about. Even his teammates. You know, his nickname was Shearsy from when he, so I don't know how that's going to work inside the locker room. But, yeah, it's kind of – he does just want to play the game. And I think he's – you know, he's a player that you're watching him bounce up and down. They're moving guys around, Ron. And he's a guy that's that gives them that flexibility to do it. If he's up top, down low, he's quick. He makes something happen. And I hope he stays on the same kind of good hockey that he can bring to the table, because that's a valuable piece as they move forward to their success.
Jay, I was shocked to see Phil Kessel being played with Sidney Crosby a little bit the other night, because, you know, last year during the playoffs, I remember Sullivan sitting on a podium saying Crosby and Kessel have no chemistry, none whatsoever. I don't know. Is this just Sullivan a little bit desperate trying to get that offense going, especially 5-on-5?
Yeah, it's definitely that, Ron. I mean, really, if you think that's why we saw, I mean, I think they, again, to me, I thought Sheahan between Hornquist and Sherry, I thought that was working. I thought that there was something happening with it. They are just trying to find that 5-on-5 offense, which has been the main topic of discussion. And you know it's all going to come back around. They literally had, again, I felt the other night, and you can't always say the goaltender, you know, I've felt I needed to say that a number of times in this past against Vancouver. Markstrom is outstanding. I mean, you could say they need to bear down on their opportunities. They're bearing down. It just didn't get by him. He's a 6'6" goaltender that made 10 outstanding saves the other night. The game could have blown itself open for the Penguins, but instead, he makes a great save. They go the other way and they bury their opportunities. So, Again, they're going to start coming around, but you want to make sure you're getting chances. I think they're starting to get chances in games, and until you do, see the results, you're always going to see guys flipping around. I mean, you like to settle in, but I think you're always going to see that movement until you find something that clicks with your top centers in the game.
Jay, it's been a very unlike, very un-Crosby-like start for Sid. No goals now in 8 games. He's 13 points in 16 games. Pretty good numbers for a mere mortal in hockey, but we know Sidney isn't a mere mortal. And a minus 11. Does that surprise you a little bit, his start?
The minus is what would probably – look, you know, at any given day, he can explode for 3, 4, 5-point night. And then all of a sudden it's going to flip around. Look at McDavid. McDavid, I don't know his exact numbers right now, but I know he had a hat trick in game one, and I believe he only had 4 or 5 goals in total almost through this part of the season. So, look, they're too great of players, and at any given time, one of them is going to explode and light it up on a given night, and they're right back climbing the race and being talked about as, you know, I mean, being looked at as in the top three in points. So, again, I think the minus, though, what happens is when it's not going in, obviously, for you, you have so much ice time, you're out there, and it goes in the other way. And the games, 4 bad games that were terrible, that hurt everybody's numbers as far as plus minus. And sometimes that's such an overrated, that number can be so deceiving, the plus minus thing. Obviously, there's a trend with it, but those trends, you look no further, in my opinion, than the blowout in Chicago, blowout in Tampa. I mean, guys' numbers start to, you know, their plus minus start to implode, if you will, and they're going to be fighting that all year.
Do you sense that's true with Letang as well? I don't think he's played very well, Jay. He's a minus 16, and I know that, you know, I get it, what you're saying about the plus minus. You can use it almost any way you want, but in my opinion, and Letang has said this, he is not playing well, and I don't know if it's, you know, we expected too much with him coming back from that major injury and surgery or what, but it doesn't look like Chris Letang yet.
No. That's why I said it's, you can use it. It can, it's a plus and minus, whatever, how you want to view it. Like you said, somebody might get a minus for somebody who makes a mistake somewhere else on the ice and you're part of it. But in Chris Letang's case, no, it seems like everything he's touching, or a deflection here, something off him there, a decision, you know, it's ending up in the back of his net. So yeah, I don't think he's playing. As you mentioned, you've heard him talk about it. It's not the game that the fans are used to seeing, but he'll come back around. I think he's been through so much, Ron, as injury, a neck injury. You know, when you know you're one hit away, he's one hit away from like a blindside hit, you know, not even an intentional hit, just something. And that can play into a guy's mind. But I think he's going to work hard. He's going to battle back, and it's got to change. But that's a situation where, yeah, you're right about that. I mean, that plus minus might be reflective of his game right now, but he's got to battle back. He's a key play. He gets so many minutes, and the numbers have to start going the other way. But when you start getting goals 5-on-5, Ron, there might be 3, 4, 5 times he could have had an assist and it'd be a plus, and the puck's not going in for them. So all those things can change and revolve those numbers, but certainly decision-making and things like that have to change for those numbers to go up as well.
Boy, you talk about one hit away, Jay. He went into the boards hard the other night. He always makes you hold your breath a little bit, doesn't he?
Yeah, and I do feel like I've been through neck injuries. I know what that's like. And in a game, a contact game, it could be the hit. It's the hit that you don't see. It's a hit that, you know, you're turning to your right and somebody's turning to their left and they clip you. I mean, that's the kind of hit that can, you know, that brings concussions on, but it snaps. But that's part of the game, and he understands it. Everybody takes that responsibility when they go out there. They understand the risk, and you play the game. But truly, in a fast game, that's what I mean, he's battling a lot. You got to find your game and just get over it. And I don't know if he has any feelings about a little hesitation. I thought the last couple of games he was skating with the puck more and taking it past the red line. It's the guys, the defense, the second wave, Ron, isn't just the guy who gets it up, and it's the guy that jumps into play and then creates stuff from the red line in, and he's that player. He and Schultz can be those two players that really make a difference. So I'm sure over time his game will keep coming around.
We're talking to Jay Caulfield, a great friend of our show and a great friend of me personally. from AT&T Sportsnet here on the Cook and Pony Show. Jay, obviously the power play, they're not scoring 5-on-5, but the power play is still carrying him a little bit. Thought it was great to see Guentzel get another goal because he's had a quiet start too. That was just his second goal in the past 11 games.
Yeah, again, that's look, even if it's a shame, he had a great opportunity, I believe it was, to tie the game and just missed the post. And, yeah, for him, they're the guys that you need to have going. And I think moving guys around so much, look, you're trying to find that piece. You're trying to find that magic, if you will. But sometimes moving guys and bouncing them around, you know, Mike Sullivan holds guys accountable. And if you're not scoring in that top slot or you're not being defensively responsible, whatever it might mean, he's going to make a move. And some players, they adjust to it. Other players, it affects them. And but again, I think that's a key that he got a goal the other night, and hopefully that jump starts him. I would have hoped they would have kept that power play together. Just give him one more look because it was mono on the point, and it had.
Oops, I think we lost Jay. We just went dead here. Our phone went down. We'll try to get Jay back here real quickly. I'm getting all kind of alerts here, Joe. We'll see if we can't get Jay coming back here real quickly. I want to ask him his thoughts on the whole Tristan Jarry situation. Do you worry about the kid's development by having him here as a backup guy, or would you rather have him in Wilkes-Barre Scranton where he can develop more? My point is this is a team that you need to win right now, and I'm not worried about Jarry's development, especially when you got a young franchise goaltender like Matt Murray ahead of him. We'll see if Jay agrees, and then also want to ask him about Rick Tocchet coming back to town tomorrow night. I wrote about him in today's PG. Coming back, he takes a 2-12-1 team into Washington tonight to play the Capitals. And this is it's killing Tocchet to be losing like this. You know, he won a cup here with Caulfield on the Penguins in 1992, been on Mike Sullivan's staff the past couple of years. As an assistant coach, so he's won 3 cups in Pittsburgh. I know they're going to do a video tribute to Tocchet tomorrow night. The Penguins always do those tributes. They're so classy and the way they do things. So I would expect Tocchet to get a real rousing ovation from the fans tomorrow night. And then hopefully the Penguins can take care of his Arizona Coyotes. Okay, I believe Jay is back. Jay, our phones just went dead all of a sudden.
I know. No, no problem. I'm right here. It's good to go, Ron.
All right. I said I wanted to ask you about Tristan Jarry. They start the season with Niemi. They say they want to get Jarry experience, help him develop at Wilkes-Barre. The Niemi thing didn't work out, so now Jari's up here as the backup. Are you okay with that, with him not playing a whole lot, not getting that development at Wilkes-Barre? And I personally believe they're built to win right now, and I'm not worried about his development, especially with Matt Murray. How do you look at it?
No, I feel the same way right now. I mean, look, they tried. They went the Emmy way. It obviously didn't work out. You've got 2 goaltenders in the minors that were playing. I think Jarry, obviously, he was the talk of the town a couple years ago, and then I think he tailed off a little bit last year, but coming back around, the way he looked the other night, in that game, a comfortable situation, I thought he was very good. And I'm not, to me, he's a professional hockey player. I think he's been around enough. Mike Buckley does a great job with the goaltender, so he has him here with him. To me, that's a great sounding board, plus somebody you can always rely on and continue to develop with him up here. No, I think it's going to be based off of what he does his next opportunity. If he has another solid outing, I think they're going to settle down a little bit mentally and realize, hey, look, we might have our guy right here. And if it goes sideways again, then they're going to just make a look. But I think you need to go with him. Don't worry about it. And see, because with the way he played, he was very comfortable. He was engaging. He was edging on Tkachuk a little bit, getting in his face, if you will. I thought he played a great game and deserved a better fate, but he did a great job.
Jerry, that's the way I feel, Jay. I'm not interested. I'm worried about developing a guy behind Matt Murray. If Matt Murray was an older guy, maybe I'd want Jarry to be in the minor leagues getting experience. But Murray's my goaltender now and in the future, and hopefully for many years to come.
Yeah, that is true. I agree with that assessment, Ron. That's a big part because of the age and where Murray's at. I do think, though, you listen, facing the shooters that are on the Pittsburgh Penguins every day, every day in practice. Every day you get a game experience. You see what the speed of the game is like. He's sitting there on the bench, going to get his call, going to get his opportunity. It was the mentality he had the other day that I thought gives him, that makes you feel a little more comfortable, because I didn't see one thing that he felt any moment was too big for him. He played one game last year, which I'm sure that helped him. But, again, the moment didn't look too big for him, and especially with all the talk and concern about the backup goalie situation for the Penguins, he handled himself fantastic and did a great job, and now you just go with it. And when his opportunity comes up, you give him that next look again, and don't back away from it. Give him the look and let it go. And then, because you really do have to find out, what do you have? By the midway point of the season, you got to know what you have in your backup goaltender, and by that time they should know if he's the guy.
Jay, you played with Rick Tocchet.
Hey, Ron, one other thing. They don't wait for anybody else. I don't care, whatever role you are. If you're not doing a job, they get somebody else. And if they don't sit there and give you all this time. So, to me, I know you got to be worried. You got to be a little careful with the mentality and psyche of a goalie. But at some point, enough's enough, and you got to play the game. And that's where they're at with him, I believe.
Jay, you played with Rick Tocchet. I wrote about him in the PG today. He's 2-12-1 in Arizona, and I can tell you, it's killing him. You know how competitive he is.
Yeah.
I think he's a great hockey coach, and I think he's going to get that thing turned around.
Yeah, well, I believe so, too. And I think, look, you look no further than their goaltending situation. The Antti Raanta came back, so hopefully that will solidify it for him and their team. I watched them play in Philadelphia last Monday.
That was his first win.
Yeah, went to the game there. The team plays hard. They play the game fast, just to what he wants to develop. I think their decision making late in games has cost them, and it's their, and no more than their goalie. I mean, they had an .860 team save percentage throughout the season. You cannot win hockey games no matter what. And now hopefully the goalie thing situation is settling down, but some of their decision-making late in games has cost them. They should have had 4 or 5 wins, 6 now. They got 2 the other night, their second one. They should have at least 5 or 6 wins to this point by the way the games have gone. And when I've watched them play, I get to catch the late games. And he will turn it around, but it's going to be a process. But it starts with their goaltender. And for him and for Rick Tocchet, hopefully that Antti Raanta is that answer.
He was a big part of the Penguins' success here, I believe, and everybody from Jim Rutherford to Mike Sullivan says that.
Yeah, I look. There's certain guys that have an impact and have instant credibility when they walk in a locker room. But then you have to maintain that. You have to hold on to that credibility, and so guys respect what you're talking about. Obviously, the moment he walks in, they're going to respect it. But over time, that'll wear off if you're not handling situations right. Well, he continued to handle it each and every day, every year. And I think his experience here with the Penguins helped him be a better coach, working with Mike Sullivan again and the superstar players that are all here. You learn every day and you make yourself better. And I'm sure, I know that's how Tock feels about that whole situation. So it's good for him to get his opportunity. And, again, look, if he can rebound from the tough start now, hopefully that's one situation that only makes him better as well.
Jay, I'm looking forward to seeing the tribute to Tocchet on the scoreboard tomorrow night. I'm also looking forward to watching your work on AT&T Sportsnet. Thank you so much, as always, for your time. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome, Ron. Good to talk to you.
All right. I love talking hockey and Penguins with Jay Caulfield.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.